A gratitude attitude. It sounds like Victoria Wood when I say that. Have you got a gratitude attitude? We started this sermon series about Christian disciplines, the things which are good practices for all of us, holy habits, as it were, if you profess to be a Christian. And today I'm talking about gratitude. Gratitude. Are you a person whose life is marked by gratitude, you miserable lot? We shall see. Gratitude, according to the dictionary, is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's one of the first things we teach children, isn't it? As soon as they can talk, we drill into them. You've got to say please and thank you. Say ta. Ta. That's just me anyway. Thank you. I remember trying to and failing to get Rebecca to write thank you letters for birthdays and Christmas. If you have ever had a thank you letter from Becca, you are one of the very, very lucky few. It's not something she could do. We do that because it's the polite thing to do, to say thank you. It is a human response, isn't it, to say thank you. We live in a hard world, a world that is constantly striving for more, a world that sucks us, I think, into the undertow of wanting what we don't need, of being who we're not, of a world that's often overwhelming. And I think we can all recognise that an attitude of gratitude is... Sorry, I have to say that differently. An attitude of gratitude is something that is good for the Christian to live out. Would you agree? Good. I can finish here then. Now, it's good for us to live that out. We'll talk about that in a moment. Because I think often we get pulled into other sorts of attitudes. Attitudes of fretting and complaining and worrying and grumbling. I'm sure nobody here does any of that. So we're thinking about kind of holy habits. Last week, we started with fasting. Now, fasting is very different from gratitude. I wonder where gratitude ranks on your personal list of holy habits. Maybe it's not as high as Bible reading or prayer, but maybe it's higher up than hospitality. I don't know. I wonder. But I think it's more significant and more shaping us to be Christ-like than we possibly think it is. I think gratitude is the spiritual life belt that keeps us afloat. I think it's a heart attitude. Gratitude. I can't say that without sounding like Victoria Wood now. Sorry. I think gratitude is a heart, is a way of being. And sometimes it's hard fought for. I think sometimes it's a hard fought, grace-infused, biblical lifestyle that we have to step up into. I think it's good for us spiritually, but it's also good mentally. I googled all sorts of things this week. Listen to this. Helen will like this. Where's Helen? Helen will like this, particularly. Scientifically, the positive effects of gratitude have been shown by Alex Korb, psychotherapist, PhD. And he talks about how gratitude boosts the neurotransmitters, dopamine and serotonin, and the hormone oxytocin, all of which are associated with well-being and having a positive outlook on life. So the more you are grateful, the happier you are. That's not actually rocket science when we think about it, is it? It makes your brain feel happier. Who knew that God would implant that in us? Isn't he clever? And another study, even better, was done with patients who had heart failure. And the more grateful they were, the better they became. How interesting that your mind and your heart together affects the rest of your life. Who knew? God knew. And it just reminds us that you know, those spiritual traditions that have been saying forever that give thanks. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It's like, who knew? So I think it's striking how many times in Scripture we are told to give thanks, to praise the Lord, to sing of our thankfulness. So around your tables, with the good folks around you, because we're meant to be being interactive, I want you really quickly to think if you can think of as many times in Scripture or biblical stories where gratefulness, gratitude and thankfulness is a key theme. Off you go. Talk. Did you come up with some? Loads. So many. Give me one, Colette.
Lazarus's son, when he brought him back to life.
Fantastic, thank you. Another one?
When the Red Sea parted and the Israelites went through, okay. I'm sure they gave thanks.
I'm sure they did. Reverend Karen? Can you stop that?
When Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one of them came back to say.
I bet everybody said that, didn't they? Nearly, Reverend Jane?
When Jesus gave thanks to the Father before the miracle happened for the feeding of the 10,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the one I stupidly acted out until we figured out what it was the Peter and John outside, you know, in the, he gets healed and they're praising, skipping and praising.
They went laughing and, praising God. Yeah, Nick?
We already had the lepers, 10 lepers. Rob had some better ideas than me.
Well, we give thanks for Rob then. Rob?
We're talking about the Israelites in Exodus and how they weren't so helpful. Yeah, they were thankful at the beginning, but once it got tough, they got grumbly. But, you know, and lots of, Helen here was talking about a lot of the women in the Bible were much better at being actually thankful than the men.
What a surprise. I say nothing. Anyone on this table?
Jehoshaphat. He was.
Tell us about Jehoshaphat.
He was thankful that the battle was not his, but God's, that we sang tonight. Oh, yes, you're welcome, ma'am.
Very good. Anyone else? Oh.
When the Ark of the Covenant was brought back with David, he danced half naked in front of it, delighted.
Get that image out of your head, everybody.
Mary, when she poured the oil over and her hair.
Yes. Jesus. That was a thank offering, wasn't it? An extravagant one. Have we missed any? More?
I was thinking of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she found out she's going to give birth to Jesus in the Magnificat, when she kind of, all the great prayer of thanks for that.
Absolutely. So I think we've made the point that there are shed loads of biblical examples where giving thanks is something that we're meant to be doing, when we're meant to be raising up a sacrifice of praise, where we're meant to be living in an attitude of thankfulness. I stopped myself there. Key themes of what it is to be a person who lives under God and is living out blessings. If you've got a Bible or a phone with your Bible on, do open to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. They may be familiar words to us. The Apostle Paul writes to this Christian community midpoint of the first century, and he's focused on the transformation that occurs in people who follow Jesus. He's saying that your lives should take on a dynamic quality and it should change when you follow Jesus. Not in just what you say you believe, but in what you choose to live out in Christ-like ways. The verses before the ones we've just heard say this. I don't know why, I just didn't start it earlier. Say this. It's about the things that get in the way of a holy life. Impurity, lust and greed and anger, slander and filthy language and lies. And Paul is saying, because you've taken them off in the past, it's time to put on a new wardrobe once you're following Christ. We are leaving that stuff behind. We have taken it off. It's been sent to the charity shop. Or to landfill. Actually, landfill is a better illustration. It's been sent to landfill, never to come again, and you have got to put on a new wardrobe. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, with humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. And then in the next three sentences, he mentions the importance of being people who live out gratitude. He says, first simply, be thankful. He says, with gratitude in your hearts, sing songs to God. He says, do everything you do, to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, but giving thanks to God at the same time. Does everything you do give thanks to God? I wonder what you're doing tomorrow. Will that be lived in an attitude of gratitude to God? What does that look like lived out in your life? The 13th century theologian and mystic Meister Eckhart said this: if the only prayer you say in your life is thank you, that will be enough. What do we think? Yes? No? Is that enough? Does it need more? I've got a question for you then, for you to think about around your tables, or you can just shout out an answer. Why do you think that Paul focuses on thankfulness so much? And why is it important to live that out, do you think? What does that do for our spiritual lives, living out thankfulness? If you have an example from your own life you could share, that would be great. What does it look like? Why is it important? Is Mr. Eckhart right? Is being thankful enough of a prayer? Karen, the poster girl for gratitude. Karen, I'm passing you the mic.
Okay. So, when Jesus saved me, he changed everything. He changed me, he changed my life, and the knowledge of it and the impact of it and the wowness of it is something I live with every day, and it is just in every pore of me. So I don't consciously, but I just am, because this is how I feel, because of the changes and the amazingness, and that God and Jesus just love me and have done and everything. It's just so a part of me. It's something he did in me, and I can't switch it off.
Please don't. Anyone else got anything to say? Robert, Sunday name.
When I was at a former church, there was a chap. There used to be an open time of prayer during the service, and there was this one chap who really didn't have a lot in his life. As a guy in his, I suppose at the time he'd be in his 50s, David is his name. But every week, without fail, he would stand up and give thanks to God for changing his life. He's a reformed alcoholic, and every week he was just so grateful for God turning around, and he would almost say the same prayer every week, but it would just recount how thankful he was to God for coming into his life, giving him hope, giving him mercy, giving him just a new set of friends, a new outlook, etc., etc. And it was the same prayer every week.
Karen.
When I was a young Christian, as a teenager, there was one man in my church who really affected me. He was 102 when I met him, and he was wheeled into church every Sunday. He was wired up with a head microphone so that he could take part in the services. And he just oozed gratitude. And he constantly said, God is good. Never forget that God is good. And that just affected me in a big way. I can't think of anyone else that had a bigger influence on me. And it was his constant oozing of gratitude. And I only knew him for a short time. He was 102 when I met him. He died at 104. But his gratitude has just never left me.
Just pondering that question when you said, is it enough to say thank you? And just as a simple example, if someone buys you a present, it's good to say thank you. But you might not actually want it. You might put it in the cupboard and never get it out again. So, you know, was that genuine? But if someone gives you something you really want, for one, you feel different, but not only that, you use it, you go and... You know what I mean? So it's a... There's a doing as well, isn't there? There's a do... Yeah, definitely. Otherwise, it's a bit meaningless.
Last one, Nick.
Okay. One of the things I learned having a son was that it's possible to teach them to say please and thank you, but you can't teach them gratitude. And I think that's the same for myself. When I was first a Christian, I was thankful, but now it goes a lot deeper.
Thank you. We're going to pause and we're going to watch just a little video. It's less than 3 minutes. Hopefully it will start and the sound will be there and all will be well. And it's about a woman who's very thankful for nearly everything. And the practice of gratitude is a thing that lots of people encourage one another to do. If you go on the internet, you can buy gratitude journals forever. You can And that's good. It's a good thing to notice the good things around you, isn't it? But one thing that I think is interesting, you know, you can sit at the end of the day and write down the five things you're grateful for. And it's good that you recognise the gifts that you're grateful for. But do you recognise the giver of the gifts that you're grateful for? Jane just said about giving people presents. When we give a gift, it's usually not anonymous. Not because we want to go, oh, look at me, I'm giving you a present. But because we write our names on the tag, we give a gift to somebody we love, and we want them to know that it's because of the value we put on them that we give a gift. It's my love language, gift giving. And it's the same for God when he gives us gifts. It's like, I'm giving you this. You know, I'm giving you all the things I give you because of the value I put on you. And so when we have kind of godless gratitude, we're missing the point. When we have kind of Christless gratitude, we miss the point. Yesterday on my Facebook, I asked people, what are they grateful for? Not everybody mentioned God in their response. And I was expecting you all to go, well, I'm grateful for my salvation. Nope. Oops. So are we grateful? Are we people who live out that gratitude? I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. The thing that awakens the deepest well of gratitude in human beings is that God has forgiven sin. Amen? That should be the truth, shouldn't it? Putting three words on the screen, guilt, grace, and gratitude. I think they are at the heart of the whole of the gospel story. That before we are in Christ, we are guilty. We try by our own efforts to pull ourselves up, to make ourselves worthy and acceptable to God. But we can't until we have the undeserved grace of Jesus. Christ who dies on the cross bearing our sins. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's a gift from God. That's the good news, that our guilt has been swallowed up by the gift of grace. That's our number one reason for gratitude. I think it's number one on the list. Would the band like to come up? So, we're going to, in a moment, ponder about your response and your living out of gratitude. Because I really believe that when gratitude becomes our default Christian setting, it changes our life. It has to. When you look at the world and your life through gratitude-coloured lenses, it changes things. It changes our outlook on ourselves. It changes our outlook on the world. And I think it's Christ-like to live saying thank you. And I want to be shaped to be more like Jesus. I read this quote this week. I'd not read it before or heard of it. It's this. Seek to cultivate a buoyant, joyous sense of the crowded kindness of God in your daily life. I'll read that again. Seek to cultivate a buoyant, joyous sense of the crowded kindness of God in your daily life. I love that. And we're called to be people who are looking out for that crowded kindness in our everyday. We're going to pause and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to speak to each of us about the place of gratitude in our life. Em and the band are going to sing a song. called, funnily enough, gratitude, that will give us time to reflect and ask God to speak to us. The song is about having no other right response to God but gratitude and worship, given what he has done for us. And there's a line in the song that says, all I have in a response is a hallelujah. As I was praying for tonight and before I wrote my sermon, I think God slipped a question into my head. And it's a question that's been bugging me all week. So maybe it's more of a question to me first than before it's a question to you. And it's this one. Is the gratitude that flows out from your life as abounding as the grace that flowed into your life? It kind of stopped me in my tracks. Is the gratitude that flows out from your life as abounding as the grace that has flowed into your life? It was a bit of an ouchy moment, that, for me. So that's a question to think about. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you have lavished your kindness, your everyday kindness, the crowded kindness of your Father's heart on us. And I know, Lord, there are times that we have lived like we have taken that for granted, where grace has been a cheaper grace than it needed to have been. And we've perhaps forgotten the first joy of our salvation. And so we say sorry. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would cultivate in each one of us an attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude, that you would mold us to be more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, as we listen to the band sing over us, Holy Spirit, would you be pointing out to us that which needs to change or grow or be shaped to be more like Jesus? Would you be pointing out to us those places where we need to keep our eyes fixed more closely on Jesus? We thank you that your love never runs dry, that your grace is endless and your arms are wide. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? All we have is a hallelujah.